Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah. That's right. We're glad you could join us. It's time to sit back. Get comfortable. Talk about some weird stuff. Just chill for a while. Welcome to After Hours with the Rise Guys. Here's Madman at 9.
Yeah. And that was Mark Hendricks.
Yeah, he's the boss around here.
The official announcer for After Hours with the Rise Guys. I'm Matt Man. He's 9.
Hey, welcome to After Hours with the Rise Guys.
Episode 3.
Yeah, 3 weeks in, man. We've had a lot of fun, and we're going to keep having a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we're finally on Apple Podcasts, formerly known as iTunes. But I think if you had it as iTunes, it's still that.
Yeah.
But you can find us there and subscribe and leave a review, because what I found out is that when we get good reviews, then that helps to put us in the algorithm and more people will find us.
Yep. So please tell a friend. It would mean the world to us if you'd like us to tell a friend, or if you think we suck, hey man, listen to how bad this sucks, and then let them listen.
Yeah, remember the chick on TNC this week on the Rise Guys morning show? She only found us because she had watched everything during COVID and said, I need something new to watch, and somebody sent her Facebook fussing video.
Yeah.
That's how she found out about the radio show.
Yeah, if you like Facebook fussing, something we do on the Rise Guys morning show with clapping.
Yes.
Like wrestling clap.
Uh-huh.
And then, but yeah, we take, if you've never heard it, if you don't listen to the Rise Guys morning show, we take real Facebook arguments and we do them on the radio. We act them out.
Yeah. In addition to being radio saviors and podcasters, we're also actors.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Actors.
Yes.
All right, so let's look. I'd like to do this at least until we get into double digits. Episode 1, we talked about the CIA and their experiments with astral projections.
Yes, we did talk about some of that stuff in episode 1. We were as confused by that as any of you possibly could have been, though. So don't worry if you were confused, so were we.
Yeah, and to those of you that asked questions, I referred you to, like, Wikipedia, because
mm-hmm.
I had no more answers than you do.
Just look it up, because I don't know. I can't explain it.
Yeah. And then episode 2, last week, was about growing up in church, why we don't go anymore, 9 and I, and how, you know, my preacher stole from me, and the lady in charge of baptism molested me.
Yeah, we got into all that stuff, all the religion stuff. Had a little bit of the old school satanic panic stuff that used to go on in the South as well.
Lord God.
Probably still does. A lot
Devil's
of places.
Devil's Mansion, brother.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Mama's calling me while we record the podcast.
I'll be dead. You want to take the call?
It's done.
Oh, okay.
Missed the call. I have to call her back later.
My mom knows to call me 2 times in a row if it's an emergency.
My mom usually does it anyway.
Oh,
I think, oh man, something must be wrong. She's like, hey, is it raining over there?
Yeah. Yeah, but when I had a beeper, my mom would use 911 when really it was not an emergency.
Yeah.
It was like, do you want, you know, fried chicken or baked chicken? She knew the answer before she even called.
Yeah.
Always fried.
There could be an earthquake in the mountains of Bolivia.
Yeah.
I'd have 9 missed calls. My mom just making sure I'm not in Bolivia.
You all right?
Yeah. No, I'm in Greenville like I have been for years.
Yeah. Right. I love Moose.
She's great, man.
Moose is 9's mom. It's an affectionate nickname she's had since birth.
Yeah. So, well, since she was a small child.
Maybe not since birth. That'd be odd.
No, she, the way the story, this is funny, I throw it in real quick. The way that story was told to me is that she was named after a character on a TV show called Sancho the Bull Moose.
Right.
Turns out that nobody in my family is either dumb or don't remember stuff good, and I'm not sure which one.
Why? No one remembers that being the actual story? I thought it was a clumsy moose. Not a bull moose. What is a bull moose? Bull's Bullwinkle.
It was it was a clumsy bull, but it was basically the story of Ferdinand.
Marco?
No, the old cartoon they read that a couple years ago with John Cena playing the bull.
I'm familiar. I never saw it.
I think Moose's nickname is supposed to be Ferdinand.
Really?
I think so.
Ferdy.
I think it's supposed to be Ferdinand.
Well,
instead of Sancho the Bull Moose.
If you ever get her on the show, we could ask her that very question.
Well, I'd rather not. Rather not.
So, episode 3. Nine, you've already said this could very well be a two-parter.
I think so. There's just so much to cover. And I mean, it spans like 63 years of content.
Yeah.
There's a lot of highlights in them 63 years.
Nine's not that old, of course. But talking about your dad. And with the new show, this show you're listening to right now, Rise Guys, or After Hours with the Rise Guys, we're going to try to keep these less than an hour because, you know, it's like, think about a TV show. You know, outside of like a sporting event or damn wrestling, you don't want to watch a TV show longer than an hour.
Yeah.
Hell, most of them's 30 minutes. By the time you do commercials, it's like 18.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just two guys talking for better part of an hour.
After we already did 4 hours.
Yeah.
Earlier today.
Yeah, we did. We talk a lot.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Well, at least we get paid for it.
Yeah, we do.
63 years, that's how long your father, Eddie, lived and walked this earth.
Yeah, I'll start at the very beginning if you want me to start at the very beginning, because it's interesting from the get-go, especially to people who are alive this day and age.
Look, I've known you for 20 years.
Yeah.
Give or take. I only remember seeing your father briefly.
About 21 years now.
21 years?
Yeah.
Wow. I saw your father. I don't remember ever talking to your dad. And some of the things you told me leading up to us doing this show today, I did not even know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are some stories I've told on the Rise Guys morning show over the years, a few times here or there. But there's so many stories I never got around to, just didn't have time for, or whatever. For whatever reason, they've never been told. And 18 years of the other show.
If you saw Walk the Line about Johnny Cash and you thought that was something else.
Yeah, I mean, this is that could be a movie about my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would play him?
Oh, Lord, I don't have any idea.
I asked you that on the morning show. I was like, think about that. Who would play your dad in a movie?
I'd have to give it some serious thought. You know, probably somebody like Dave Franco could pull it off if he could play Southern good enough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because my dad was not, he's not a big man at all.
Right.
He was a small guy. He was about 5'8". 5'9", maybe.
You take after your mama.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, he was 5'8 or so, and he was skinny up until he quit drinking in his middle age. But his life began in a little town, a little mill town called Lowell, North Carolina, which is right outside of Gastonia, North Carolina, about 30-odd minutes from Charlotte.
Okay.
About a half hour up the road.
Yeah.
Like right outside.
From where we are.
Right between Gastonia and Belmont, basically. But it's a tiny little, just a mill village.
Yeah. If you're listening to us in Alabama, for instance, it's not just up the road.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, from here. But he was born on the front porch of a mill house in Lowell, North Carolina, a week before Christmas in 1938. So outside, freezing cold, giving birth, on the porch, here comes Eddie.
Was your great? Eddie. Was your grandma in the swing with her legs up? Or I mean, then sorry,
she laid out on the porch, you know, probably involving a wash tub, a hot water, or something.
Them mill houses, at least at Poe Mill, you lay down on the floor, you're touching, both sides,
the room. Well, again, she was on the porch.
Yeah, I know.
he was born on the porch, and he was the baby of five brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Lena and Gordon, his parents, my grandparents, they had five kids total. So they had Clinton, as they called him.
Clinton?
Yeah. Herman. They had Ray. Oh. They had Jack. And they had Eddie.
I remember Herman Jr. made a short appearance on the show once.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. He was cheating on his wife.
Yeah. Got him on war.
Yeah. But, yeah, it starts there. Man, I don't think anybody really had a pleasant childhood in the 40s for the most part. A lot of people had unpleasant childhoods for various different reasons. But, yeah, my dad's mom was – I don't – I mean, thinking back, she died when I was a kid. She died in 96 I was 11 when she died. Mm-hmm. So I can't really remember. I mean, I can't remember enough about her to say what might have been going on with her.
Right.
But she was not well. She was very mentally ill.
Okay.
And I don't know exactly what it was. She was never diagnosed or treated, obviously, because back then you weren't. But, yeah, she was, dude, she was mean.
Yeah.
She was very mean, very abusive to all them boys, especially the younger couple. Because by then she was tired of having kids, didn't want any more kids, and here they come.
Was your grandpa in the house?
She was mean to him, too. She ran that show.
Oh,
he was,
wow.
He just drank and shut up. All he did was drink and shut up. He eventually drank himself to death.
Was he a soldier?
No, he never. The only one of those brothers who ever served was Clinton, I believe, in the Korean War.
Oh.
And he was a tail gunner.
My God.
Yeah, he shot people in the ass.
Yeah.
But Clinton turned out really well. He was a great guy. Herman, not as much, and we'll get to him later on in this story.
Yeah.
He's involved in the shooting death of a man.
Oh, God.
The guy my dad killed involved Herman. We'll get to that. That's
okay.
A nice tease for later.
That's a nice tease.
Yeah. But Ray was a preacher, but I think he was just in it for the money.
Oh, good portion of them are.
Yeah, so this is my dad's family. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is who we're dealing with.
So do we know why he was born on the front porch? Was it lack of not realizing the water broke and have a chance to get there? Or did they have a vehicle to get there? Or?
Where were you going in 1938? I think most people in that day and age were born at home.
No stud.
Yeah.
No kidding.
I think so, yeah.
I never thought about that.
At least in that area. Maybe in cities, maybe not. But you see, I mean, you know, I don't think it was that far advanced. Plus, when you're in Lowell, I don't know how far away you got it. You might have to go all the way to Charlotte to find, like, a hospital.
Because you think about that, a lot of the hospitals around then and prior to were Catholic Church-based.
Yeah.
You know, the St. Francis, St. this, St. that.
Mm-hmm.
It was not the conglomerates owning them and bringing them to town.
Yeah, I mean, somebody at some point had to say, man, we got to give some health care to some people.
Yeah.
And then somebody said, well, we can make a lot of money off this.
Let's do it.
Yeah. And then somebody said, we can make a ton of money and not give anybody health care. And that's where we are now.
Yeah. There we go. 2020.
Yeah. But anyway, I'll move on from there. My dad's family moved down to South Carolina when he was a kid. They always ran restaurants. His mom was just ran restaurants. I won't say she was a great cook, because by the time I came along, she burned the hell out of everything she cooked, and it just wasn't good. But back then, apparently, hot dogs, hot dog chili, hamburgers, and stuff like that, they're just good at that. So they did that, and that's how they made their money, and they always got by.
Yeah.
But they moved down here, and they didn't do that anymore. And you know what? I don't have a clue what my grandparents did for a living once they moved down here. I know they ran a couple restaurants down here briefly, but I don't know exactly where they worked, what plants or anything. I just never knew.
Right.
Because my grandpa, he drank himself to death 20, 30 years before I was born. The early 60s, so yeah, a little over 20 years.
When you say, you know, let me stop you there. When people say they drank themselves to death, or you hear stories, what does that mean exactly? Did his kidneys just shut down? Did his is it something with his pancreas?
Yeah, I don't know what he did for a living. I certainly don't know his exact cause of death. But yeah, I imagine something to do with the liver and the kidneys.
Yeah,
or the pancreas. You know, something to do with the poisoning yourself with it eventually.
Yeah,
because he'd been drinking like a fish.
He pickled himself.
Basically, yeah. And then. But yeah, so my dad's family moved down here because they all had family from down here. They were all from the upstate anyway.
How was your dad at this point?
He was a kid, a toddler when they moved down here.
Yeah.
Because he was a toddler when he was sent to stay in the summers. Now, all the brothers weren't sent together. This is where it's weird. But they didn't want those last couple of kids. They really didn't want to have, I think they were cool with three, but number four and five, Grandma did not want my dad or his brother, who was the next youngest, which was Jack.
Wow.
So Eddie and Jack were not wanted, and they were treated like they weren't wanted, too.
Well, people were not known for wearing rubbers back then.
Yeah, exactly. So my dad had to go stay with Grandma's brother, his aunt and uncle, out in this was BFE, middle of nowhere country back then, up towards Pumpkintown, South Carolina.
Yeah.
And if you're not from around here, just imagine that Pumpkintown is BFE nowhere, because it has to be. It's called Pumpkintown.
Every town has one.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was sitting to stay there, and that's where the story comes from. The only time I ever saw my dad get emotional and well up with tears in his eyes talking to me the entire 17 years I knew him. That's where he drowned a box of kittens under a spigot out back of the house.
Wow, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I forgot about that when it came to this.
He told me the story that he individually took these kittens and held them under the spigot and drowned each of them. Now, this is a very abused child at this point. I mean, he's been literally chained to radiators and beaten, and I'm again, I'm
by
not
the mom,
yeah,
by his mom.
And I'm not certain. I was never told or hinted around enough, but I just get a strong feeling that there was definitely some sexual abuse, and it happened there in Pumpkin Town where he drowned the box of kittens. So that's what was going on up there, I think. I have a very strong feeling it probably was.
And whose house was that at?
His uncle's, his mom's brother.
So that we think that possibly the sexual abuse happened there.
I think so.
Possibly, okay.
That's
where he was chained to the radiator.
No, that was his parents' house.
My God.
Yeah, I mean, those boys were beaten, especially the two younger ones. Jack, his next youngest brother, he also drank himself to death around the same time their dad did.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, this was a very powerful woman who had a lot of control over these men in her life, her sons and her husband.
And I hate just, your grandma.
Oh, man, she's a domineering woman, just mean as a snake, too. Even when she was in her 90s, she was. I'm talking about she was 92 sleeping with a butcher knife under her pillow.
You had relatives that lived to 90?
Yeah.
Yeah, oof.
I know.
Dang.
I know, man.
Right, I would remember that.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
So as you can imagine, the picture I'm painting, the story I'm telling, I mean, you know, there's no education in the deep rural South back then. Mm. There's no money in the deep rural South back then. There isn't much of anything in the deep rural South back then unless you were born into money, and my dad wasn't.
Yeah.
So I'm painting a portrait of a man who probably went into a life of crime, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that right there takes us straight to about 10, 12 years old, he wound up in reform schools. Now, those were in the lower part of South Carolina, down near the coast. Places like Florence was one, and Sumter was another one he was in. Places within a couple hours or so of Myrtle Beach for a landmark for you.
Can I pause right there and go back to one thing about the drowning of the cat?
Please.
A, in what context did he tell you that story? And B, did he relay what was going on in his mind and why he did that?
Oh, that's actually a great question. He said he didn't know why he did it, and that's when he started to get emotional, is when he was telling me he didn't know why he did it. And when he told me that, we used to just go get in the car and ride around. We'd go ride around for a couple hours, go drive around in the country. That's just what he liked to do, clear his head, and it's just a hobby for him to go for a ride. So we were doing that, and we were up and around that area, and he started telling me the story. I guess he just was thinking about it because he was up there.
Oh, wow.
But otherwise, I never saw him get emotional when people died or anything. I never saw that level of emotion. He felt just that guilt from, I mean, he was in his early to mid-50s when he told me the story. So that guilt was close to 50 years old that he was carrying around. He still felt terrible about having done that.
My God.
Especially because he couldn't explain why he did it. He used to tell me, too, that he used to have it, if there was a demon in him or something. He did things and he didn't understand why he did them.
You know, forgive me, but it does sound very Michael Myers-ish.
Especially the Rob Zombie take on Michael Myers.
Yeah, well,
very
I'm
much
drawing
that.
It from that, for sure. Yeah.
His mom wasn't a stripper.
No.
Lena wasn't much to look at, even in her younger days.
Lena, a ghost going to get you.
Lena May. Lena. So, oh, poor old widow woman, she always said.
So you only saw, everybody had one of those. Or an old maid.
Yeah.
So so he relays that to you going through there, you saw him cry. Okay, so reform school.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Again, these are all just stories he told me when I was growing up. So reform school was in, I think the one in Florence is where he spent the most time.
Just call it conform school instead of reform school?
Well, they're trying to reform these awful boys like my dad who've been abused and beaten and all kind of stuff done to them.
Right.
And they've never been taught anything or properly raised or educated at all. They've just been kind of thrown to the wolves in a sense. And then the time you hit reform school, yeah, you sure enough thrown to the wolves. If you weren't destined for a life of crime already, they're going to throw you down there and you will turn into a criminal for sure. It's like, they're just grooming you to be a criminal when they send you to these places, especially if it's 1950 in South Carolina.
And you don't really necessarily have anything to live for. You don't give a crap. So if you go and commit a crime, if you get away with it, awesome. If you don't, all right, so I'll go to jail.
Exactly.
Three squares a day.
It was a lot easier to get away. It was a lot easier to hide out. It was a lot easier to disappear. I mean, they couldn't find you in the next county back then. It was a lot easier to get away with stuff back then, so it was a lot more tempting.
Mm-hmm.
But reform school, the thing you told me about reform school, the first thing is that their work, their chores at reform school were stuff like they dug out a football field with tablespoons. They had the boys do stuff like that. I mean, they had to do cleaning and cooking and all kinds of stuff like that, making beds and all the dusting, just basically cleaning the place up like it's somebody's mansion. But, yeah, the one thing they had to do was go out and dig out a football field behind the school, all boys on hands and knees digging it out with tablespoons.
Do you remember any of the names of the schools?
No, I have no idea what the school was called. He never told me. I never asked because I was a kid hearing the stories. But that's where he first met a guy, some people are going to know this name. I know you'll know it, Matt, because he's a very famous South Carolinian, a man named Donald Gaskins.
Oh, yeah.
They were in reform school together. They were dorm mates or whatever at reform school.
Yeah.
In the same bunks. So, yeah, Pee Wee Gaskins.
Did he tell you how he got the name Pee Wee? Is it a shower room story?
No, he's just a little short. Little short blink.
Oh, yeah.
A little short piece of trash, you know?
Somebody's going to say shit before this is over with.
Eventually it'll happen. But so the thing is, he was roommates with Pee Wee Gaskins, who Pee Wee Gaskins is an American serial killer. He killed quite a few people. He would bury them in the swamps. I think he'd put some kind of lead or something in people to hold them down or use it to weight them down, and just they'd disappear in the swamps and be swallowed up by the swamps. You never find anything.
It's like Southern cement shoes.
Yeah. Just a very angry, I guess, psychotic little man was Pee Wee Gaskins. And nobody knows for sure how many people he killed, but a lot of people think it was 100 or more. Because back then, if somebody disappeared, what would anybody know about it?
Yeah.
Especially if you're, again, in the swamps of South Carolina. But yeah, he was convicted of 9 murders, and he claimed 100 plus murders. And his crimes ranged from 1953 to September 1982. And he was executed in the electric chair in 1991. Old Smokey, they called it here in South Carolina.
Oh, Old Smokey. Yeah. Never any mental illness? Like, did he ever go to any kind of assistance for that?
Who, my dad?
Pee Wee Gaskins.
I don't think either of them did.
Well,
they're just products of reform schools and prisons and not nobody ever caring about them or doing anything for
and
them.
And this was the 50s?
This was around 1950 in reform school.
Yeah.
Like the early 50s, like probably 50 to 52 or 53 or so, somewhere in there.
It's right there at the tail end of that time when if anybody showed any kind of abnormal kind of, outward behavior, put them in the sanitarium and locked the door.
Yeah, and again, I told you the reform school was just a breeding ground for criminals, right? Well, Pee Wee Gaskins' criminal record started in 1953, right when he left reform school.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm thinking about. How are you going to reform a kid who's already been abused, sexually abused possibly, and now go dig up a football field with a teaspoon?
Well, especially they weren't trying to reform anybody back then. You know what I mean?
Free labor.
Systemic abuse all the way around. They didn't understand or they didn't have any care for any kind of psychology, kind of psychiatry, any kind of therapy, any kind of counseling. There was none of that.
Wow.
It was just, you be good, we're going to beat you some more. That's all they did.
Yeah.
That was life for these kids.
So your dad never kept up with Pee Wee Gaskins, I guess?
No, he ran into him again because it didn't take my dad long before, as soon as he was old enough, he was in the state penitentiary in Columbia, and guess who was there? Pee Wee Gaskins.
My God.
Yeah, so my dad told me the story about when he first wound up in the state penitentiary. Again, he's a little guy. At this point, he's 5'7", 5'8", 18 years old. Maybe 17 back then, and he probably weighed 130 pounds.
Soaking wet.
Yeah, little bitty guy, young, baby-faced kid. So, you know, they're going to mess with him in prison. They're going to be mean to him in prison. So he goes in, and his cellmate, much older guy, just, you know, starts talking trash to him. My dad keeps his head down, doesn't say anything. Guy keeps talking trash to him, threatening him, telling him what he's going to do to him, involving sexual abuse and stuff like that. So my dad takes his old black prison issue shoe, never says a word, and just out of nowhere turns around and just beats the hell out of the guy with his shoe. Just try to send a message.
That's what some of these reality shows, that's what they say you're supposed to do, is go in there and you show people from day one you're not going to take any crap. And allegedly that works, but
yeah,
it's TV.
I don't know what my dad was in prison for the first time. There are several times I don't know what he was in for, but he was in for just various things. He stole a lot of cars and just things like that.
Yeah.
Probably robbed some people.
Blew up a horse with dynamite.
Assaulting people and stuff. Yeah. A horse with dynamite.
Yeah.
So
he shot up a circus.
Yeah. Yeah. So he gets out of there. I'm trying to see where we are. Oh, we're into the 50s now. We're getting into like the prime of his life. He wasn't in for too long. I do know some things happened in prison. Like, you know, bad things. You know what? You know the things you know that happen in American prison. We've all seen enough Oz.
Yeah.
We've all seen movies. Yeah, things happen in prison, especially here.
You just assuming that, or he alluded to it?
I've been told. He never talked to me about it, but my mother has.
Yeah.
He told her, and she told me kind of.
My gosh.
Yeah. So anyway, but he got out of prison. He wasn't there for too long. And then he had a good little run, you know, hanging out around here, around Greenville, cruising around in like 57 Chevys and stuff like people did back then.
Yeah.
Stealing them from people.
Sure.
Steal a car, steal a plate, you know.
Take the car club ornament off.
Yeah, you just steal a car, then you steal a tag off a different car.
Yeah.
They're not riding around with computers because it's 1950s.
Yeah, they didn't have VIN numbers then.
They couldn't track any of this stuff. You're just riding around in a car. Nobody knows where you got it. It's yours as far as anybody can tell.
I wish I grew up then. I would have been a criminal.
Yeah, yeah. Back then, your license plate was a little piece of metal you put on a keychain.
Right.
Yeah, it didn't have a picture of it. It had your name and your address and said South Carolina driver's license. That was it.
Well, I can remember my daddy buying his inspection sticker every year.
It looked
had to do that.
Back then, the driver's license was metal, and it looked like one of the discount cards you keep on your keys when you go buy groceries.
Oh, yeah.
Or CVS.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so he gets out, and he's doing that. And he's very in that 50s James Dean greaser kind of scene.
I mean, roll up the cigarettes in his white
t-shirt, cigarettes rolled up in the sleeves, the blue jeans and the cuffs, and that kind of stuff, man. The slick back hair. He was that rockabilly kind of thing. Like rockabilly guys now do that.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, he was kind of in that scene.
Okay.
I mean, he's where my love of country music comes from.
Yeah.
He didn't have any use for a damn Beatle. I don't think he ever heard Michael Jackson. I'm dead serious.
You should hear what my daddy called Michael
Jackson. I'm sure. I can imagine. My dad would have, too, if he had any idea who he was.
Yeah.
My dad didn't. I mean, he just listened to his Elvis and his Ernest Tubbs and his Johnny Cash and his Hank Snow and Hank Thompson and all that beer-drinking music.
Yeah.
This music you'd play in beer joints. But, yeah, it was... throughout the 50s, he'd get in trouble over and over again because he's stealing cars and running wild. And again, he's basically feral. He's basically a feral human being set loose in 1950s Greenville, South Carolina.
So when you say he's on a good run, that means not getting caught good run.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Now, he'd get locked up here or there for a little bit of time.
Well, that don't count.
Various places. He escaped a few times through right in through here in the 50s when he was a young man. Yeah.
What, he'd take a file in with him through a birthday? Did somebody bring him a cake with a nail file in it?
Well, no, back then they still had chain gangs. One time, my dad and the guy he was chained to jumped off a chain gang truck on Poinsett Highway by one of the bridges and disappeared off into the kudzu in the woods.
Had to get the ball off.
Well, I don't think they had a ball on when they were on the truck.
They were just chained together.
So they jump off at the same time. They jumped off together.
And you know the big guy fell to the ground first, jerking your daddy down.
Probably.
Oh,
law. Yeah, so they go rolling down the hill towards the train tracks off the highway and just run away. And they got away that time. There's several times he'd try to get away. There's one time he was in the lower part of Georgia because he always loves Savannah like everybody does when they're from around here.
But, beautiful city.
Oh, it's the best. So he's down around there, and he escaped from from custody. Like they were trying to arrest him, and he ran away, that kind of thing. Or he was in the process of getting arrested, and he ran, that kind of thing.
But
that time they got after him with dogs, right? In South Georgia, they got bloodhounds and stuff out in the woods after him, trying to catch him. And he got away from the damn dogs that time. He took his shirt off and left it by a riverbank and then went down the river for a little ways.
He knew to leave the scent.
Yeah, he left his shirt there, and then he went down the creek for a bit. And then he went on the other side of the creek, and they just kind of lost the scent, I guess.
I wouldn't have taken my shirt off. I would be afraid that if they did my mugshot, you'd see my big man boobs.
I'd taken my pants off.
Yeah.
Keep my shirt.
No, well, yeah. He's Porky Pig in it.
Need my shirt.
But then you don't want to go into jail not wearing breeches.
Well, you know. I don't want to go anyway.
Right.
I don't want to go wearing a snowsuit, man.
So he's going in and out of jail, but not any big, big things.
No, just running from the cops and being wild as hell in the 50s. It was also in the 50s he was back up in Charlotte, and he got burned really bad.
Wait a minute. How do we get from Charlotte from Savannah? Well, he's just bouncing back and forth?
Just bouncing back and forth. You know, again, if you're in trouble and the law's looking for you everywhere you go, you just move on to another town.
Yeah.
And you stay gone for a little while. Let the heat cool off a little bit. When the town's not as hot, you go
back
to Greenville.
Laying low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Especially back then when it was hard to find people, it's just what you did.
Yeah. They didn't have fecal recognition then.
No, they didn't. No, they were facial either one.
Yeah, that's right.
So he winds up going back to Charlotte, and that's where he was just pumping gas in a car. It was probably a stolen car. But you know how they say the cell phones will cause a fire, right? Well, it's not just that. Any kind of static, but there's some kind of static charge there. Again, sometime in the 50s in Charlotte where it just caught on fire while he's pumping gas, and he went up with it.
Wait a minute.
Duh.
He went when you say he went, did it mean like just fireball went up in front of his face?
No, I mean, he caught on fire all up his right side and his right arm. Like the right side from about the hip up.
I'm an awful friend if you've told me that and I've forgotten it. I mean, there's obviously already
one. I don't know that I ever told you.
I don't know that I've ever heard that. Holy moly.
Yeah, so he went up in flames. I'm talking about second, third degree burns all up his side.
He has to go back to Georgia for the burn unit?
Not back then. I don't think it was there then.
Just rub some salve on it.
He just wound up hospitalized in Charlotte rubbing salve on it, and they gave him whiskey to drink to numb the pain.
Well, there we go.
Yep, so he's just laid up in the hospital for a number of weeks, maybe a couple months even, slowly healing up, getting the best care he could get at that point. I think maybe some early skin grafts maybe happened because it's the way the scarring looked on his body.
Yeah.
So he's just sitting there drinking whiskey to numb the pain. That's really what they gave him, was whiskey for the pain.
My God.
So, yeah.
How old is he at this point, you figure?
He would have been, I think this would have been the very late 50s. So he would have been a young man, 20, 21, 22, somewhere in there. Might even have been the early 60s by the time that happened.
So he never served?
No, never. Okay. No, not with his record. I don't think anybody wanted him serving nothing.
Yeah.
I don't think that would have been a good idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was that. Another Charlotte story from around the same time. I think this happened before the burn, maybe. He was riding with a guy. And I don't know if the guy was drunk or if the guy had some kind of seizure or what, but he said the guy had a spell, and my dad thought he fell asleep at the wheel, and he tried to wake him up, and he couldn't wake him up. The guy was just out. So my dad had to bail out the passenger side of a car going down the highway before the guy drove the car into the side of a brick wall.
And the guy, I mean, he didn't die. He just got hurt real bad, I guess.
Yeah, he got hurt real bad. My dad messed his leg up. He broke his leg and messed up his knee pretty good bailing out of the car.
God bless.
But life was hard back then, man. That's the thing. Everything you did, you got injured. You got hurt bad.
He had a spell.
Yeah. The guy had some kind of spell.
What if he just OD'd?
Could have been. Could have been drunk and passed out. Who knows? I mean, back then, there were no DUI laws.
No, God, no.
Certainly no open container laws. Those didn't come around here until the early 80s.
Yeah. Okay, so he's a young man, and this isn't the end of his life. This is a third of his life so far.
Yeah, I mean,
right,
this is
about a third of his life.
About 20 out of those 63 years we've hit, or a little over 20 years.
He's already caught on fire. He's already, you know.
He's caught on fire. He's bailed out of a moving car. He's escaped from chain gangs. He's been to big boy prison. He's been to reform school.
He's been beaten and chained to radiators.
Yeah, he's already, at this point, he's already drowned a box of kittens.
He's had a reunion with a former classmate, we'll call him, Pee Wee Gaskins.
Yeah, noted serial killer Pee Wee Gaskins, yeah. Back then, I think he was Pee Wee, but yeah, my dad called him Donald. I don't think he was Pee Wee till later, a little later on.
Jesus Christmas.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So he's back in Charlotte, back and forth.
Yeah.
At I don't know the timeline, but I'm interested to just give me this. How? At what age did you meet your mom?
He was.
I don't want to jump ahead too far.
Let me think about this. They met about 6 or 7 years before I was born, so he would have been about 37, 38.
Okay, so there's way many more stories to get to.
No, yeah. See, he wasn't nearly as wild after I was born.
Okay.
So most of the wild stuff happened between.
Well, that's good.
About 1950 and 1983 or 4.
Wow.
Yeah, he had a hell of a 30-year run, though, I'm telling you. But after his the burns and stuff,
yeah,
you'd think he'd go further down the path because they had him drunk on whiskey for months.
I'd quit smoking, I think.
Well, he wasn't smoking at the gas pump. He said it just went up, and he didn't know why. Nobody knew why. Just that static thing we've learned about since then.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he did smoke like a damn freight train. Okay. You're right about that.
Yeah.
But, after that, he had a series of jobs. Like, and he wasn't in prison. He wasn't in jail. He wasn't locked up or anything. He had a few jobs in through there. At one point, he was a night watchman and a security guard. There used to be a huge church downtown Greenville, Pendleton Street Baptist Church.
Oh, yeah.
Down where they built the baseball stadium.
Yeah.
And he was the night watchman in that church.
He carried that little satchel that had the little keys in it, and he'd have to turn in there, and it would key log?
I think so, yeah.
My grandpa had that.
He had the keys. I mean, they let him have a gun. This guy with his criminal record and stuff.
Lord.
He's walking around with a revolver and
probably
a dog.
Not big on background checks back then either.
Exactly.
Probably no way to really do it.
Think about the world back then in the 1960s. You could go get a job as a security guard. They're going to hand you a gun, and you've already been convicted of all these crimes. You've already served time for various crimes, some of them violent.
Yeah. All there was really like wanted posters.
Yeah. They here's your gun, don't steal anything, even though you're a convicted criminal who's stolen stuff.
Wow.
Now the world is not as kind. I mean, it's a lot easier now, but in those regards, if you do screw up, it's hard now.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, you screw up, it's hard to get a job ever.
Yeah. So he has a gun, and then you mentioned that as just kind of sarcasm of the way of the world at that time, or did something happen with the gun?
Nothing ever happened. He's a security guard. He had to run a few drunks off, stuff like that. Winos yeah. come around, yeah. kind of break a window at night or something.
Ladies of the night.
He never got in any trouble.
See, that's around that same area where, you know, my daddy would take me by to see prostitutes.
Exactly. I think this was before it got that bad, but it was pretty bad then because the church had a night watchman.
And when I say my daddy would take me by there, not to,
not to do business.
Not to do business, but we'd go to Krispy Kreme Donuts and he'd say, hey, Matthew, you want to go see the hookers?
Yeah,
hey.
My dad did the same thing in the 80s with me, or early 90s, late 80s, when I was a little tyke, a little bitty kid.
Yeah, right there in the corner, Army Navy store.
Yeah, I was 4, 5, 6 years old. He'd show me the hookers.
What are those hookers waiting for at the Army Navy store, like old vets to come by and want to get a little something?
I don't know why it was right there. Maybe because if you went further than the Army Navy surplus store in downtown, if you went further down Main Street, it'd be too rough.
Well,
you wouldn't want to stand on a street corner further down.
Some things never change.
Yeah. Oh, come on. It's nice down there now.
Well, a couple blocks in.
Somebody listening in Mississippi is like, I don't know what y'all are talking about.
Well, look.
You'll begin to, we'll paint a picture.
Come visit.
Yeah. So after the night watchman, but this wasn't the night watchman and the security guard work. That wasn't the end of him being in prison. Because at one point he went back to prison, in federal prison. Federal prison in Petersburg, Virginia.
Now, what led to that?
He stole a car somewhere down here, and he was sleeping in that car in Baltimore, Maryland, and he got a knock on the window, and it was the FBI.
And what led him to Baltimore?
I don't know why he was in Baltimore.
He never told you?
I think he just was just driving up north to get away from, again, the heat of stealing
a
particular car from whoever he stole it from. Because they were after him that time.
Did he sell stolen cars or just would drive them around just to use them?
I think he'd just leave them somewhere and get another one when it was time.
My dad used to say there was like 6 big chop shops in Greenville.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the 70s and the 80s.
I'm sure they're always.
One of them was right off White Horse Road.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. My dad knew about those. He knew the people who ran them.
Yeah.
He avoided that. He avoided a family who ran one for a long time because he may have killed somebody related to him.
Jeez Louise, your daddy.
We're going to get to that story. I keep teasing it.
Yeah.
Keep teasing it. But, yeah, he wound up in federal prison in Petersburg, Virginia for whatever various crimes. He spent 5 years there. So by the time he gets out, he's, again, in mid to late 20s by now. Probably 26, 27 time he gets done with that.
5 years for stealing a car.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no other added on charge, just for stealing a car, 5 years.
Well, there were some other charges, too. I don't know what.
Yeah.
I don't have any records of it. I don't know where to find them. Yeah. But there was some other stuff besides a stolen car.
Yeah. All right, so he's sleeping up there. So obviously they put him in jail up there.
Yeah, federal prison in Petersburg, Virginia, which is prison still there. I don't know why I remember Petersburg so well. Well, I didn't.
Russia?
No, it was a penis joke.
Yeah.
That's why. After he gets out of there, he goes into the family business. My dad and his brother Herman, they opened up a series of beer joints at that point.
Beer joints, man.
Yep.
They don't make them anymore.
No, these places didn't serve liquor drinks. That's why it was a beer joint. They just sell you beer.
Is that something with the licensing then, you think? Or it was just, we just like beer, so we're going
to
sell.
I don't think you had to have a liquor license to sell beer. I think it was different. It was just a beer joint. You weren't trying to get people tanked on tequila.
Yeah.
And whiskey. You were just trying to get them drunk on beer.
Yeah.
So they'd have keg beer and canned beer and bottled beer, and they'd sell beer, and people just go in there and drink beer and shoot pool and smoke a lot.
And a band playing. Maybe the next Don Williams on stage. Who knows?
Maybe. Or a jukebox at least, you know.
Yeah.
So they'd have some music and some pool shooting and some drinking beer, and that was it.
Yeah.
All he did was drink beer. But, yeah, that's where my dad got tight with Herman, his second oldest brother.
Okay.
But this is also the time my dad had to stand up for a trucker when he was going to a dance with another one of his brothers, his oldest brother, Clinton.
Now, he got close to his older brother. They were just drinking buddies, pool buddies. That was just their place to go and relax and chill out.
They ran the business.
Oh, they ran the beer joint.
They ran several
beer joints. Okay.
Yep.
When you said that, I thought you meant like.
Oh, no, they operated.
Okay, they operated.
Let me yankee it up. They operated several beer joints.
Okay, thank you. I needed you to clarify that. I mean, you know, all kind of things you can run.
Yeah,
all
right, but so. I want to get to the trucker story real quick.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to move past it.
Oh,
that's right where we are. So my dad and Uncle Clinton were going up to, they were headed up to North Carolina because, again, that's home to them. They're going up there to go dancing, had the girlfriends with them in the car.
Yeah.
You know, this is, again, late 60s, I think. They wind up, and back this, well, actually, this was, might have been earlier, before 85, Interstate 85 ran all the way to Charlotte.
Oh, it's super highway when you had to go use Wade Hampton Boulevard.
Highway 29, because they were on Highway 29 when this happened. I believe they were on the way back from North Carolina where they'd been dancing, they'd say.
Yeah.
You know. But they wind up running up upon a fender bender. It's an accident where a guy driving an 18-wheeler wasn't quite able to stop, and he's bumped into the back of a guy's pickup truck.
Okay.
Not a bad wreck. Like, not he got taken out by an 18-wheeler kind of thing. Not, I mean, everybody's going to drive home. It's going to be fine.
Just a fender bender.
Yeah, fender bender, yeah. So the trucker gets out to check on the guy and, you know, talk to the guy driving the truck. And they're in the middle of an argument when my dad and his brother and their girlfriends ride up on this. So they get out to make sure everybody's okay because they see people in the road and a wreck here. So this guy... The trucker is a black man, and the guy he hit is a white man in a pickup truck. And the guy's just going off and saying a lot of racist things and stuff. Like, I'm not going to say I didn't hear my dad say a lot of racist things growing up, because I did. Born in the South in 1938, and I'm not saying that's an excuse. I'm just saying that, I mean, I heard him say a lot of those things.
Right.
I'm not excusing it in any way. I'm not excusing any of his awful behavior.
Yeah.
I'm not even trying to excuse the kitten drowning. I'm just explaining what kind of life he was leading that...
All roads lead to something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this night, my dad and his brother are just trying to make peace in the situation, help get everybody on their way, make sure everybody's all right. But this dude won't stop. He won't stop. And my dad, despite running beer joints, had no patience with a drunk whatsoever.
Right.
So my dad hits this guy, and he told me the story a bunch of times. I always ask him to tell me again. He said it was the one time in his life he threw a lucky punch. Because my dad was a scrappy dude. He got in a lot of fights. He won some. And he got his ass handed to him several times, too.
Being a smaller guy, he needed that first punch to be the lucky punch.
Yeah, well, my dad just was handed off. The guy in the truck was drunk, by the way. He was driving drunk, which, was pretty acceptable back at that point in America.
Yeah.
But and he was just talking and talking. He wouldn't shut up. My dad had no patience for it. So my dad hauls off and hits him. But anyway, by the time the cops show up, because somebody had gone to call the cops about the wreck or whatever, just to make a report, I guess.
Yeah.
They show up, and they are trying to figure out where the brick is my dad hit the guy with.
Wow.
And my dad and his brother and their girlfriends and the trucker are like, no, he just punched the guy. Just
wait a minute, the girlfriends
punch.
Are there, too?
Yeah. They were
so
there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they're pulling over. That's what I'm thinking. Like, that was a sign of the times then, too. Like, if you saw an accident, you would pull over to see. Because people don't have cell phones.
Yeah.
You'd pull over and check on people.
Well, especially my Uncle Clinton was just the kind of guy who would check on anybody in any situation. He's a real good guy like that.
But then when
I don't know what happened to his brothers.
They see this guy in duress, the black trucker, and he's having this drunk white guy that he just, you know, crashed into, saying all these awful things to him, and so there is
my dad probably half drunk too.
But the girls are there, so it's like, okay, let me go and defend honor.
Well, I don't think he did it for the girls. I mean, my dad wasn't. I don't think my dad was the kind of guy who would do it to impress them.
Yeah.
It's already his girlfriend. Was he trying to impress her?
Well, okay.
I think he just did it because he was pissed off at that drunk guy.
Right.
So I think he just wanted to hit that guy, and he did it.
And so
not a lot of thought involved.
Hit him so hard that the cops thought that there was a brick nearby that he'd used.
Yeah, I mean, my dad said the guy left his feet and wound up landing underneath the trailer on the back of the truck.
My Lord.
Yeah, so again, he said, look, I'm not that strong.
Break his jaw?
I'm not nearly that bad. He don't know exactly how bad the guy was hurt. I mean, he had never found out anything else about it.
Are you going to tell me your dad got charged with assault?
He didn't get charged with a crime that night.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, back then it was the... Back then, it was the kind of time where the cops would show up and say, well, I guess he should have been running his mouth. You know? Kind
of, yeah.
He wouldn't have got hit if he wouldn't have been running his mouth. That was kind of the way of the world back then. A lot of
Are
people wish
tell me
still
that
was.
Truck driver was the big cat Ernie Ladd?
I don't know who it was. It very well could have been. But I don't imagine that dude would have been talking trash to a 6'9" Ernie Ladd.
Right.
I don't imagine he would have opened his mouth when that dude got out of the truck.
Yeah.
Have a good night, sir. I'll be on the way.
So he defended this trucker's honor.
Yeah, because the trucker, I mean, it was one of those situations that my dad told me, too. He's looking at the trucker. The trucker's pissed. He wants to hit this guy. But he knows that if he does something about it, he's going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to lose his job.
Yeah,
definitely. Probably going to get arrested because, again, he's a black guy and somewhere in upstate South Carolina or the tip of North Carolina in sometime in the 1960s, right around the Civil Rights Act time, probably.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, if he has a lot more to lose for hitting this guy. So my dad hit the guy.
And then your uncle never joins in. It's never like a you know.
There's no need. It was one punch. It wasn't a fight. It was one punch.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
it was an argument followed by one punch, and then it was over.
What? See, already this story, I imagine, like, I'm sitting here, like, you listening right now, you know, in your earbuds or in your car or wherever, and I'm having this, like, this emotion with your dad, like, oh, man, I feel bad for him. Oh, he shouldn't have done that. Oh, wow, look, what a hero.
Yeah, he's all over the place. He was very bad, and in times he was very good. I mean, he did a lot of awful, terrible things in his life. But he did some good stuff, too.
But it does sound like there was some kind of, like you said, he earlier on you said it's maybe a demon in him.
Yeah, he would say that, too. He'd say that demon especially came out when he started drinking, especially whiskey.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when he's drinking liquor, the demon came out, he said. And it's not just that he would get blackout drunk and not remember stuff. He would do stuff and not know why he did it. Like, he had no control over what he was doing. Mm-hmm. He had no control over these impulses, and these impulses were dark and violent.
Yeah. Wow. Pee Wee Gaskin. So far we're to the 60s.
Yeah.
And your dad is how old around this point, roughly?
Well, this would be the late 60s, so he would be right around 30 at this point. He's lived about half his life at this point.
I'm just trying to paint the picture because we're going to make this a two-parter.
Yeah, I got so much still to get to. I mean, it's going to take more time than we have for today.
Oh, my God. And then we're going to find out how he was involved in 9/11.
No. He had nothing to do with that or Kennedy.
No, but there's more with the Pee Wee Gaskin stuff and then murder.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't get to the we didn't get into the beer joints yet, because the beer joints involve things like shootouts, shootings, attempted stabbings, adultery. One time, somebody in the family may have burned a cross. Dead serious. And I'm going to tell that story next time.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, my family only has one the whole gun shootout kind of story, and that that was right outside of Greenville Pickens Speedway.
But, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You sir, deserve a local Emmy for that tease at the tail end of this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't even gotten any of the times my dad got shot, and he was shot several times. He's not 50 Cent, but, he was shot a few times.
And then also...
we also have to get to the story of when nobody knows who shot my dad. It was either my dad or my mom.
It was JR.
It was either my dad accidentally did it himself, or my mom shot him in the leg because he was drunk and she was mad.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned that right there. Your mom shot him in the leg.
Or he did. We'll get to that. Those details, too.
Will that be something that we come to talk about?
Oh, yeah.
With the, I was just thinking about this. Your father's body.
Yeah.
The scarring, the beating, the jail violence.
The burning.
The shooting.
There were gunshot scars. He lived the rest of his life with a couple of bullets in his body.
And a prosthetic leg.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. The amputation. Yeah.
All those stories, man. Okay. God. I tell you this. I'm excited for next week.
Oh, man. I mean,
we can't not. See, this is going to be the hard part. We're going to see each other every day for the next week. And I'm going to, like, hey, man, tell me ahead of time. But I got to save it for the air.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting into a real good phase of my dad's life where there are some really great stories. And most of the bad things that happen the rest of the way in my dad's story, he's going to do some more bad things. But the really bad things that are going to happen in the next part of my dad's story, that was his brother being a dick.
And how he was involved in the Iran-Contra hearing.
But dad's brother might have been. Herman might have been. Yeah,
man.
I mean, we're getting into a part of my dad's life where he isn't trying to be 1950s James Dean. We're getting to the point where 1970s Burt Reynolds is the man.
Oh, he had a hairy chest.
Yeah.
He ever posed nude?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But Burt Reynolds did.
Okay. Wow. The story of Eddie McDonald.
Yeah.
If it's okay with you, too, when you talk about the tail end of the next podcast where we get to the end of his life, I'd love to share with the listeners the phone call that you made to me that night.
Oh, yeah, we can do that. Yeah.
Still one of the most impactful phone calls I've ever gotten in my whole life.
Yeah, we can definitely cover all that and a lot more.
You're good
more.
At bringing bad news.
Anytime
anybody famous dies, the first person that tells me is 9.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson, all these people. Man.
Yep.
What a life, what a life.
Yep.
We're only halfway there, too.
Yeah, so just to tease you with what's coming next week.
Was he a member of a militia?
The beer joints, someone dies in the next episode of this podcast. Someone burns a cross in the next episode of this podcast. Somebody gets shot and doesn't know who shot him in the next episode of this podcast. Somebody beats up a farm animal in the next episode of this podcast.
My Lord.
And somebody runs a disabled veteran scam for money in the next episode of this podcast.
What a story.
No.
All right.
That's a tease, man.
And this is a good example of why this could not be done on the regular morning show, on the Rise Guys morning show.
Yeah, it's just way too much.
Way too much content, and so many, like, I'd probably slowed you down a little bit just asking so many questions, but wow.
Well, it's a hard story to tell because I've never told it in full before. I've never told, like, this much of it at one time, and it's really hard to stay on track, even though I made notes about just bullet points of stuff I want to hit and some specific notes. It's really hard to stay on track because there's so much, and there's even more I'm remembering that I didn't make notes about.
Yeah.
As we go.
Okay. All right. So Rise Guys After Hours podcast. Do us a favor. If you're listening to this, you haven't subscribed yet, please do so no matter how you're listening to us, whether it be the radio.com app, Apple Podcast, Google Play. I think we're on Stitcher also.
Mm-hmm.
And share it with people because, look, you know, a lot of people are at home. Just life has changed in general. They're looking for new things to kind of pass the time.
Exactly.
Share this podcast with them.
Yeah, let them see this podcast. We'd love for them to hear it. Even if you think it sucks, tell them, hey, man, this sucks. I want you to listen to it. You won't think it sucks, though.
No.
It's pretty good.
I've enjoyed it. I know it's about us and our point of view about stuff, but I really, really enjoy doing this. I really do.
Great. I think it's a great time.
Yeah, so check us out next week. We drop these. Oh, I said I wasn't going to say drop. We release these on Wednesday.
Yep.
And again, please subscribe and let us know what you think. You can contact me on most of the social media at O'Maffew. That's O-H-M-A-F-F-E-W.
You can hopefully find me, but good luck to you. No, I'm kidding. I'm at Nueve on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm 9 from TRG on Snapchat. And I'm 9 rules on Instagram.
Yeah. You're not on TikTok.
No.
All right. We appreciate y'all listening. Again, spread the word. Let us know what you think about it.
And if you just want more of us, don't forget about the Rise Guys morning show, Monday through Friday, live from 6 to 10, and podcast available every day, Monday through Friday.
And thanks to Apple for calling us the hugely popular morning show.
Hey, good for them.
That was pretty awesome.
If I had a bell, I would ding it.
Yeah. I'm Matt Man.
I'm 9.
And that was the Rise Guys After Hours podcast. Yeah.
Oh, we got a new, you want to hear the new outro right now?
Yeah.
All right.
Alright, get out. Time to close the doors on another episode of After Hours with the Rise Guys. Subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Pass it around to your family and friends and other P1s. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.